A 16th century Jesuit saint and a Congolese midwife murdered in 1964 are the two patrons of a network of religious in Africa dedicated to caring for those affected by HIV and AIDS. The African Jesuit AIDS Network, or AJAN, was set up on June 21, 2002, by the Jesuit superiors of Africa and Madagascar as a priority for their order. The aim was to encourage and train religious to accompany those living with HIV/AIDS and to develop a holistic response appropriate for the different local circumstances. The daily work of the organisation is entrusted to the protection of St. Aloysius Gonzaga, a 16th century Jesuit whose feast falls on June 21. The young Italian nobleman renounced his life of luxury to become a priest and gave his life caring for victims of a deadly plague. He died in Rome in 1591, aged just 23. The other patron of the network is Blessed Anwarita Nengapeta, a young sister of the Holy Family who worked as a midwife and was murdered for resisting the sexual demands of a rebel leader in Congo in 1964. As the network marks its fifth anniversary, a new report shows the organisation is resourceful, responsive, and making more credible the Church's presence on the African continent. The independent evaluation commissioned by AJAN says the Nairobi-based network provides an excellent resource for information on HIV and AIDS, while training Jesuits to offer holistic support and care for individuals and communities affected by the disease. The coordinator of AJAN is Jesuit Father Michael Cherney. He told me what he sees as the main achievements of the past 5 years.
The achievement is also central to our mission, and that was to encourage and assist Jesuits in the nearly 30 countries we were in throughout Africa to respond to HIV and AIDS in a coordinated and evangelical and efficient manner. And I think the basic success is that there are quite a few more Jesuits doing that, and they're doing it in a very interesting variety of ways.
They're working throughout the whole range of ministries, aren't they? They're working in healthcare, education, prevention, support groups for families and so on. Tell us a bit about the most important areas.
Well, I think since AIDS is turning out to be such a complex reality, it really touches every dimension of human life. It's in that sense, it seems more complex, more dense than other sicknesses. Well, then the response also has to be very broad, very pluralistic. And so we haven't chosen one particular thing to do. On the contrary, we try to encourage Jesuits to respond wherever they are and whatever they're already doing. So that, for example, a Jesuit with talent in music has written songs and recorded them and done a DVD, and that's his way of promoting awareness. And I think it's marvelous, even if at first glance you might not think that music has anything to offer in the fight against AIDS.
But it's very much in Africa the way the message is being spread, isn't it, at grassroots level? Perhaps more key than anything else, through theatre, through dance.
That's right. It's, in a sense, taking AIDS out of the narrowly medical field and helping people to see that it is, sad to say, part of life, and that one has to deal with it throughout one's life. And since this is not going to go away probably in the next few years, people will be born and live and die with AIDS as part of their reality, and this will happen for generations. So we need to learn to live with it and to fight it in every way possible.
As you say, you see generations, you see children being born with AIDS, the parents dying of AIDS in their most productive years. Have there been moments over these past 5 years when you really felt you were just fighting too big a battle?
The biggest danger, this might sound a bit unscientific, but the biggest danger is to pay too much attention to the statistics. The statistics are overwhelming because there are zeros and zeros and zeros. But if you focus on the people the people who are around you, the people whom you are reaching or trying to reach, the people whom you're with, then it's, again, it's like life. It's, this is what these people face, and if you can be of help, you want to be. And in that sense, it's not discouraging. We can overcome AIDS. We can learn to live with it in the sense that to avoid getting it, or if people have it, to help them to live as well as possible. And finally, it takes its place amongst the whole range of problems that exist in Africa.
Can you give us some individual stories that perhaps have given you the most hope in this sense over these past years?
Well, I think the most moving stories, even though they, in a certain sense, they don't seem to have a happy ending, I think the most moving stories are those of young Jesuits who accompany people in their last hours or days, sometimes very young people, and who, I think, give them a great deal of hope and of consolation and of peace so that they can finally close their eyes in peace. But the young Jesuits and then the people whom they talk to also receive much grace about life, the real meaning of life, the mystery of life, and finally our responsibility for life.
Are you saying that this disease, in a way, is helping to develop a kind of spirituality, even a kind of theology, perhaps, that is quite new?
Some theologians in Africa are daring to call AIDS a kairos. And kairos is an ambiguous term. It's a moment of challenge and opportunity. Kairos is a time that you can win or lose. You can miss it or you can get hold of it. Well, then, AIDS is a kairos. And yes, when the church does try to respond, one can sometimes see that here there are dimensions of response which are really renewing the church, renewing parish life, renewing the life of a school, because they're dealing with reality in a very deep way. And they're dealing with it as each person needs to deal with it. Because AIDS, although the figures are large and the numbers are overwhelming, each person has a very individual, very personal experience of it. And the church, thank God, deals with people as they are, each one, son or daughter of God, and not as part of a massive statistic.
One of the difficulties has been, alongside these huge numbers that seem unstoppable so often, the problem of fear and stigma and inability really to talk about these issues. Would you say that this perhaps has been one of the most positive things over recent years? Has been a change in attitude?
There's a modest change in attitude. There are some people who are less afraid to speak, and there are some people who are less afraid to listen. And there are many people who I think stigmatize or are traumatized just as much as they ever were. So it's a bit early to say that the battle over stigma is over, as if we've now learned to live with this or to speak with it about it, and that now we are dealing with other things. No. The fight against stigma, the fight for acceptance, the fight so that people can live, even if infected, can live positively for as many years as God still gives them, the fight against stigma is still front and center. And that's why we're happy to publish books or to help produce videos or music, because these cultural media are the way in which stigma is overcome. You can't overcome it by accusing people of stigmatizing or denouncing them for stigmatizing. That doesn't help. It's like fighting racism by denouncing it. It usually doesn't help. You have to help people to break through and to discover the humanity behind the false image.
So small grassroots initiatives perhaps are more important then than government leaders or indeed church leaders actually talking more openly about these problems.
I wouldn't want to say more important, and I wouldn't want to discourage any leader, ecclesial or political, from speaking out. They should do it. But I agree with you with what you imply, that finally people are probably going to deal with this humanly and spiritually by good example, by peer-to-peer. You know, friends of yours can help you much more than your president or your archbishop, I think. And that's so everybody needs to help. And that's maybe also part of the very ecclesial nature of the struggle.
Would you say that when you first arrived on the scene 5 years ago, the church was often accused of not responding in time, not responding properly to this, trying to hide it as if it didn't exist? Would you agree with that?
I mean, it's true that the accusations were there, and it's true, as in most accusations, that there's some element of truth, or there are some examples. But what often happens is that the negative criticism takes the headline and the spotlight. For instance, one unhappy sermon where somebody accused people with HIV of being sinners and so forth, that wipes out 10 or 50 or 100 wonderful examples of people who are dealing with this in a very human and Christian way. So let's say that the media have been, as maybe happens in other cases or other issues too, it takes a lot of effort to get the media to see the whole picture and not just the sensational part. And I think since as Christians we are immersed in a media world, part of our work is also in the media area, in the communication area, to help to give a full picture. And that full picture has still a lot of sin in it, a lot of very unhappy and regrettable things, and it has marvelous, marvelous stories that need to be heard of good people doing good things for others, and yes, being brother and sister to each other.
This media image continues to be a huge problem, though, doesn't it, to you in the fight, particularly in this crucial area of prevention and the church being accused of not being sensitive enough to the problems of prevention?
I mean, as a media problem, the way you've just described it, I think you've articulated the Western version of it. In other words, the image, I think, is, as you say, in Europe and in North America and so on. In Africa, it's not so. It doesn't seem to be a big media fight about anything. In some ways, AIDS is still quite absent from the public sphere. There are other problems which take up much more attention. And the fight against AIDS is also not in the public sphere. The real fight is in the neighborhoods, around the churches and mosques, and where people gather and where people deal with their real problems in a human way. That's where AIDS is really, where the fight is being fought. And in that sense, I don't want to say that the media is irrelevant, but it's not the hot issue that it might look like from here.
You mentioned mosques alongside the churches. How much are you able to work together with other religious leaders of different churches and different faiths?
I think it's probably like every issue. If you asked me the same question about promoting peace or about fighting poverty, I think I would say to you, yes, there are some Catholic leaders, some other Christian leaders, some Muslim leaders, and others who do get together and do work together, and there are many who don't. And I think it's the same in AIDS. So there is some cooperation. I'm not particularly up to date on it, so it's not an important part of what I do or of our experience so far in the African Jesuit AIDS Network. But that's partly because we're just starting. We're only 5 years old, and we're beginning with the Society of Jesus, and maybe interreligious relationships will develop in the future.
One of the criticisms, though, is that there are many congregations, many religious organizations working on this, and yet there's very little coordination, even within the Catholic world, that in fact resources and ideas and personnel are being wasted because of this lack of or willingness to coordinate with other people.
Maybe. Yes, there is a lot of waste, and but I wouldn't begin by criticizing the church for that, because the church receives so little that she doesn't have much to waste. You know, other people are getting a lot more money, and I think are wasting a lot more money than the church does. And you know, if you agree that AIDS is there are many people involved, but that it's a very personal issue. Finally, I ask myself, well, what difference would a whole lot of coordination make? If we're trying to deal with our people in our neighborhood and you're dealing with your people in your neighborhood, Yes, I mean, if it's a question of setting up a clinic, maybe one clinic will do for the two. But beyond that, it's one-to-one or one. These are small groups, and that's where the really good work is done.
One of the other key specific issues there in Africa, of course, is the poverty and the lack of development, which plays a key role on the continent rather than perhaps AIDS as it's seen in our Western societies, isn't it?
Well, now it's a question of from what angle you want to look at the reality and finally at the problem. And you can say that AIDS is the lens that helps you to understand poverty, or you can say that poverty is the lens that helps you to go to the roots of AIDS. It comes a bit to the same. AIDS is part of life. I think that's the central message, and it needs repeating because AIDS keeps getting shoved off to the side so that because we don't want to deal with it. So AIDS is part of life, and life in Africa is made more shorter and unhappier and far more difficult because of the terrible poverty. And there's no doubt that if our human development index would go up by 10 points, if I see such a thing, our AIDS would come down by 10 points. In that sense, there is definitely a very close relationship. But they're not the same thing, and some people need to work on AIDS, and it's very important. And more people, and especially people internationally, must work on poverty. And if we could have some solutions on poverty, we wouldn't have to worry so much about the medicines or other specifically AIDS-related things, because the better standard of living would help enormously. That's the single most important thing to fight AIDS, is that people should be able to eat properly, have work, go to school, be properly housed, have clean water. It's the basic menu or the basic shopping list of what Africa needs.
You mentioned medicines, and of course there has been progress with these antiretrovirals being made available at much, much cheaper prices. How much difference has that made then?
It has made a great difference in the area of stigma. I think that when before, if you tried to convince someone to get an HIV test, and the real only result of that test is knowing that he or she was going to die, let's say they weren't too motivated to get tested. Whereas if today the motivation for getting the test is that when necessary there will be some medical aid, obviously that's so. I would say that the ARVs have helped to reduce stigma and have helped to promote a kind of healthier or more open attitude towards HIV. On the other hand, it's worth remembering that at any one time in any one country, only 10 or 15% of those who have HIV are eligible to take the medicines. It's either too early or too late, or for other reasons they cannot take them. So 85% of the people, or 90% of the people who are HIV positive, ARVs is not the solution for them at that time. I think our place in the church most of the time is to work with the 85%. The 15%, if they can get the ARVs, God bless them, and thank God that somebody is providing them. But it's not the only thing, and I might dare say it's maybe not even the most important thing.
What do you see really as the priorities as you're looking forward to the next 5 years?
I would say in some way to carry on. What we have done well a few times, we have to do well many, many more times. If there's one parish that has a good home-based care program, every parish should have a good home-based care program. And probably we've not reached 10% yet, on average, you know. Every school should have a very good program for its students. Every marriage preparation course should deal sensibly with HIV. Every parish should have programs to support young couples to remain HIV-free or to have AIDS-free families. Every university should have good courses on HIV. Well, there's just an enormous amount to do. So even if we don't come up with something very new during the next 5 or 10 years, just carrying on doing what we've learned so far would probably be a good contribution. But I'm hopeful that we will discover new things to do too, because there's a lot of creativity. And as I say, AIDS is part of life, and we are here to work for life. And so I'm sure we will find good things to do in the next few years too.
My
thanks there to Father Michael Czerny, coordinator of the African Jesuit AIDS Network, with music by Jesuit Father Wilfred Sumani. And if you'd like to know more about the organization, you can find them at www.jesuitaids.net.